It's always an incredible schus to be here. I had the pleasure to spend the entire day here today. It's incredible. There's no other words. Appreciate it. Appreciate every moment, every day. Because like everything in life, it goes very, very, very quickly. And you're going to miss it. And you want to appreciate it in the moment, not afterwards. And then you'll keep it with you. We're in the middle of very, very intense days. We're just a few days before Tisha B'Av at this point. As we've spoken about a couple times already, Tisha B'Av is difficult. Tisha B'Av is not just difficult because of all the tragedy that we mourn, but it's difficult to mourn. And it's also difficult because we look at ourselves, and I'll just talk to myself, look at myself, and I think to myself, and we've all gone through this at some point. You know, what's going to suddenly change? Generations after generations have sat on the floor and have cried and have yearned for Beis HaMikdash. And our great-grandparents weren't zochet to see that. And their parents were not zochet to see that. And Rav Akiva Eiger was not zochet to see that. And Eliyahu Navi, and so on and so forth. I mean, and like, we're going to bring Mashiach. We're going to bring Mashiach. Why are we going to be the ones that brings Mashiach? How is it even possible to think we're going to be the ones that bring Mashiach? I mean, here you could say nobody had Camp Pasch before. There's a lot of truth to that. But there have been years of Camp Pasch already. Why suddenly this year? What's going to change? So I want to start just with a story that I read in the past and I remembered a few days ago. It was a very big tzaddik. We all have a Karz HaTov to in America. Because he really brought Torah to America. And that was Rav Aaron Cutler, Zecher Tzadikas Vracha. America was known in the early 1900s as a midbar, a desert, desolate of Torah. Yiddishkeit wasn't like it is today. Rav Aaron Cutler had the foresight to open Beis Medrash Gavoa, the Lakewood Yeshiva, which flourished into one of the biggest yeshivas in the world. And much of Torah today is because of that on various levels. It happens to be my great uncle was one of the first 12 Talmidim in Lakewood. Pretty incredible. And when Aaron Cutler passed away, it was obviously a chorban. When Rav Aaron Cutler left this world to the entire yeshiva world, to his talmidim, it was a chorban. And they were yearning, they couldn't believe that Rav Aaron Cutler left this world and we still didn't have Mashiach. What happened was there were tears. They removed the parochas from the aron like we do on Tisha B'Av. The whole yeshiva was in mourning. And Rav Nosson Vachvogel, who was the mashgiach of the yeshiva, got up to speak. To give some level of inspiration to the desperate bachrim, to the world that was in mourning. And he said the following. He said a short while ago, a Talmid Chacham Muvak, a big Talmid Chacham, related a dream of his. So they never repeated to anyone because of Rav Aaron's kavod. But now that Rav Aaron is no longer with us, I want to share the dream with you. Mashiach was sleeping on a couch. One day the Chassam Sofer walked into the room where Mashiach lay and approached him. He tapped him on the shoulder and tried to wake him, but was unable to. Mashiach would not stir. Chassam Sofer left the room. A short while later, this was a dream, Rav Aaron Cutler walked into the same room and went over to the couch. He too tried to get Mashiach to stir, but was unsuccessful. Rav Aaron also left the room. Finally, a young American boy, wearing a baseball cap, walked into the room. He walked over to Mashiach. He tapped him on his shoulder. And Mashiach arose. Rav Nosson said to the Talmidim Yeshiva, Tyre Bachrim and Younger Light, Mashiach did not come to the generation of the Chassam Sofer. And now we know he did not arrive for the generation of Aaron Cutler. However, Mashiach is coming soon. He will come for the generation of the young American boy wearing a baseball cap. He's coming for you. Those were his words of Nechama. And to us sitting here, none of us understand all the cheshbonos of Hashem, all the calculations of Hashem, and why there has been generations and generations of tragedy until this very day. Difficult, difficult tragedy. Difficult challenges. And we know, and we've spoken about this here already this summer, Mashiach is the end of all of that. And we're yearning for that. Even if we don't know what Mashiach means, even if we don't know what the Beis HaMikdash means, because we never stepped in there. There's a lot of difficulty in the world that we want to leave the world. We've dealt with a lot just over the last few days, the last couple weeks. Real difficulty. Broken marriages. Broken relationships. People losing loved ones in tragic ways. Real hard difficulty. But don't be misyayish. Don't have despair. Know that dream that Nosson Vachvil told over is emes. And we don't know why he didn't come yet into generations that we look at as more kaddosh. Maybe we're more kaddosh than them. They didn't have the challenges that we have. They didn't have the nisyonos, the trials and tribulations that we have. The Chassam Sofer of Aaron Cutler didn't carry an iPhone in their pocket. With all the challenges that comes along with, for all of us in this room on different levels. And that we have to persevere. And if we could persevere through that, and stay true to the values of Torah, to mitzvahs, to chesed, to our relationship with Hashem, with all that's being thrown our way, with all that we know of the outside world, the secular world, the immorality of the world that pulls us in constantly, maybe we're way more kaddosh. We'll have those eyes that we'll see. The ultimate gulat. Mashiach's coming for us. And we have to believe that it's possible. But how is he going to come? What is our avoda? There's so many different areas to focus on. I want to focus on one tonight based on a Gemara. The Gemara is a little bit difficult on the surface, but I want to bring it to light for each and every one of us. Because I believe it's everything that all of you embody. But you got to spread this to the world and spread this to your entire year. It's Gemara and Erevin, Daf Yud Ches on the base. Amar Rav Yirmiyahu ben Elazar. Miyom Shecharav Beis HaMikdosh, from the day that Beis HaMikdosh was destroyed, Dayola Olam, it's enough for the world. Sheyishtamesh b'shtei osios. That will only use two letters of the name of Hashem. Shenemar kol haneshama, every soul, tahalel yah hallelujah. Every soul will praise ka, yudhei. What do we know is the Shem Hashem? Hashem has many names. Because a name is our depth, is our essence, and to incorporate and understand Hashem, He has many parts of Him that are Ein Sof, that are infinite. But the name, above all names that we connect to, and that we use most, and we understand even though we don't even announce it, we don't even verbalize it the way that it is Yud Kei Vav Kei, Shem Havayah, which has four letters, Yud Hei Vav Hei. So the Gemara tells us that from the time the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, that name is lacking. That we only use two of the letters. We only have the Yud Hei. Kol Neshama Talo Ya. That's it, only Yud Hei. We're missing, we're lacking the Vav Hei. By the way, maybe some of you, even if you haven't seen the Gemara in Erevin yet, or maybe never will, Nashim Tzidkaniyos, it's not necessarily your avoda. The chaver over here, you all should see it at some point in your life. There's a lot of Torah for you, but I don't know if it's Masechet Erevin, you know, that's all. To each their own, we have to know our place. It's another talk for another time. It's not better, it's very important, no, because it's not better or worse. See, Yiddishkeit gets it right. The Ribbono Shel Olam gets it right. The world has no idea. The world doesn't understand. And the world that we live in specifically thinks that men and women are the same. And it's and the whole world of Amevin Yavin, this sheker, the lies of this world causes so much confusion, so much negativity. And it all comes, sadly, not all, but a lot of that comes from a lack of appreciation of how kadosh, how special women are, how special men are. In our own different ways. The Torah appreciates that we're both special, but we're different. And that's beautiful. And we don't have the same roles, and we're not supposed to be mirror images of each other. We complement each other. We have beautiful marriages, and therefore could give birth to beautiful children, and have beautiful homes. And we're not supposed to play the same roles. We're supposed to complement each other. And the Torah, therefore, because we are different, again, not better or worse, different, we have different roles in life. Even in Torah. And we have to appreciate that. And that means you appreciate who you are and not trying to be someone you're not. If you remember last week's share. Anyways, not for now. So even if you didn't see the Gemara in Erevin, it's Rashi in Chumash, or it's really a Pasuk in Chumash. In Parshas Beshalach, when talking about Amalek, when Amalek comes, which is the epitome of our enemies and grabs hold of us, the Pasuk says, Vayomer ki yod al kes ka milchama l'Hashem b'Amalek midar v'dar. That somehow the hand of our enemy, specifically here it's Amalek, but really that's the, again, the quintessential enemy of the Jewish nation. It could be any enemy. Has its hand al kes ka on the throne of Hashem, but it's not kes. It should be kisei, and it should be yud kei vav kei, but it's only kes ka. And there Rashi says nishba Hakadosh Baruch Hu Hashem swears. She'ein Shemo Shalem, ve'ein Kiso Shalem. His throne and his name are not whole. Ad she'yimcha Shemo Shalem Amalek. So Amalek will be destroyed. And it's one and the same. When there's churban, when there's destruction, when our enemies get the best of us, which is still until today, close to 2,000 years, there's a golden mosque on top of our bias. And yes, it's beautiful that we get to go down by the Kaisel Maravi. And it's amazing. And we love it. But that's a wall. It's a wall to the mountain that the Beis Hamikdash was on. We're missing out. We don't have what we want. We don't have what we're supposed to have. We have to be real about that. You know, Baruch Hashem, we live in a generation which has affluence and so much more than any generation in all of history. So sometimes we could be mistaken and be content. We have it good. We go to seminary to learn. We go to yeshiva to learn. We get on a plane. If I want it, and trust me, I want. Right, I could get on a plane in a few hours and be in Eretz Yisrael. Like that. No generations pass so easy. We have a lot of good things going on. We also have a lot of destruction. A lot of challenges. A lot of people that have machos, that are sick. A lot of very special holy people that are sick. And people struggling with shiduchim. And people struggling with parnasa. And we have a golden mosque on top of the holiest place in the world. And we have a country that's, just watch, look in the news, is lacking complete unity. even though it's our country, which is special and wonderful. And this is all represented, the Gemara says, and we have to understand what it means. We'll bring this down to earth, don't worry. Because the name of Hashem is not holy. Right now, today, the world only has Yud-Kei. It doesn't have Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. And if we understand the depth of that, we can understand what all of this Korban is all about and what our Avodah is in this world. I deeply believe that. So let's understand. There's a Pasuk that exemplifies the letters of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei in that Seder, in that order. If you remember, a few weeks ago, we spoke about how every month has a different combination of those four letters. And only one is in order. Only one is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the month of Nisan, which is Seder, which is everything the way it's supposed to be, which is Geula. And that's the Pasuk of Yismachu Hashemayim Visagel Haaretz. You all know the Pasuk. And if you pay attention, the first letter of that pasuk, the first letter of each word in order is Yud Hey Vav Hey. Yismachu Hashemayim Yud Hey. Yismachu Hashemayim, the heaven is full of joy, full of happiness. Visagel Vav Haaretz Hey. Visagel Haaretz Vav Hey. So that too, and that's the joy of the earth. Yud Hey Vav Hey. So we look at this pasuk. Is giving us a little bit of a remez, a little bit of an understanding, a little bit of depth into what Yud-Heh and Vav-Heh represent. And if the Gemara is telling us all we have is Yud-Heh, we're lacking Vav-Heh. You know what that means? Now we can bring it all together. And we'll understand this in a moment right now. Yismuchu Hashemayim, which we still have today, is the joy of heaven. That's the knowledge, the understanding, that the Ribbono Shel'Olam that exists in heaven. The Ribbono Shel'Olam exists when we're above this world. And we all relate to that. Everybody here relates to the fact that there's a Ribbono Shel'Olam that exists within Torah, that exists in heaven, that exists when I'm davening, when I'm involved in outer worldly pursuits, when I'm involved in the Kodesh Kedoshim of the world, the Tefillah, the Tzvot, the Torah, the Shabbos, the Yom Kippur. There's a God up in heaven. Nobody doubts a God in heaven. Whatever exactly that means, but we know it. And that can never be changed. That could never be lost. And that we still have. Those two letters are still here. That recognition is still here. What is lacking? Vav-Heh. What is Vav-Heh in this pasuk? Visagel Haaretz. Visagel Haaretz is the joy of this world. Visagel Haaretz is a recognition that not only is God up in heaven, but God is in every aspect of this world. God is here at every single moment. In everything that we do, He's by my side. And I bring Him into everything that I do. And that's sadly in a time of Churban, in a time of destruction that we're still in today. Is very much so lacking. The Beis HaMikdash was the greatest manifestation of that. The Beis HaMikdash was the Shekhinah residing in this world, not just up in heaven. But the way that we do that is a recognition that in everything that I do, I can find Hashem. And it doesn't have to be just when I'm davening, and just when I'm learning, and just when it's Shabbos Kodesh. It's not just Yismuch Hashem, it's Visagel Haaretz. That's what it meant, by the way. There's a very interesting Rashi on the words Va'asuli Migdash Vishukhanti Pisochum. Va'asuli Migdash. What's Va'asuli Migdash? Make for me a Migdash. Rashi there says Va'asuli Shmi Beis HaMikdash. Lishmi. Make for my name a Beis HaMikdash. Make, what do you mean make Lishmi for my name? When there's a Beis HaMikdash, my name is whole again. When there's a Beis HaMikdash representing godliness also in this world, it's Yismuchu Hashemayim, the Sogel Haaretz. There's godliness in this world, it's all one. That's what Geul is. Geul is bringing Hashem into every aspect of our life.
Look at the word Geula. Geula are the letters, if we move them around and drop. Goal, to redeem, Vav Hei.
To redeem the Vav Hei. To redeem the Vesagel Arts. That's Geula. Let me explain, because some people just don't get this. And some people think to be a frum Jew is only somebody who's sitting and learning Kolo their whole life, 12 hours a day for the rest of their life. Or a woman who's, you know, dressed from top to bottom in every way and says all of Tehillim twice a day. And no, there are people like that are very special people. But that's all, they're living Yismuch HaShemayim particular lives. There's a higher level. There's someone who has Yismuch HaShemayim that also understands the Sogal Arts. Someone's living with Hashem every moment. I'll tell you one, there's so many stories, but I'll just tell you one story. This story, I apologize to the, there are definitely a few people here who have heard this from me before. But somebody brought this up with me just the other day, and I was thinking about it again. I think about the story a lot when I pass this place. You know, there's it's actually a bracha you make when you pass a place of a miracle. I don't make the bracha, I don't know if it's a miracle on that level, but this goes back a while, at least about 10 years ago. I was asked to be Masader Kedushin by a chasana in Tinek, in Romer. Right, some of the chaver knows. Now, why was the chasen Tinek? It's a good shaila, because both the families were from the five towns. Something we have to be mitake. You know, a lot of tikkunim the world wants to make when it comes to chasen is what you're allowed to make. Not allowed. A lot of tikkunim in the world. One of the tikkunim has to be like, everyone's got to get married where they live. I mean, if one side is from one place and one from another place, okay, then we have to figure it out, okay, where or middle or whatever. But if both families live in the five towns, we don't all have to go to Tinek, you know? It doesn't make sense. Like, figure it out. Put up a big tent if you have to. People have done it. You know, Floyd Bennett Field, I don't know, figure it out. Anyways, not only go to Tina, go on a Thursday night. You know what traffic is like on a Thursday night? To go over to okay, fine. So I'm going to this class, and I leave very early. Just remind that I took with me in the car a Talmud of mine, Tuvia Aaron Barth. So if you don't trust any of the story, you can ask him. The reason I remember the story, literally on Sunday, I went, I took my youngest kids to home, Uriel, and we went to this Hempstead Lake Park. And I bump into it, you know what it is? I don't know. First time I was ever there. It's actually very beautiful if you need a nice place, nice date place. You know, but Lemaisa, I bumped into Tuvia Aaron Barth. He was there, his twin brother. I'm very close to Moshe and my families. So his kids, it was so beautiful. He's living now in Cherry Hill. So we're driving to this chasana, Mordechai Katz, Tamar Weinstein, if anyone knows the chaver. They live in Eretz Yisrael now, Baruch Hashem. They made Aliyah years ago. Know them. Anyways, you're just saying yes to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, I hear. Okay, so I'm driving, I leave, it's like a 6 o'clock wedding. I tell Tuvia Aaron, listen, as Masader Kedushin, I gotta make sure I'm there on time. They're relying on you a little bit, so I say we gotta leave early. And I left like literally like at least an hour and a half before, you know, early enough that for sure we'll be fine. And the first half of the drive is going very nicely, smoothly. And this is like before the days of Waze or anything. You'll understand that in a moment. So and like, we're in the car, and we get up, I'm going to go over the cross, going to the Cross Bronx Expressway, which leads you to the George Washington Bridge. You go over the George Washington Bridge, 10 minutes later, you should be in Teaneck, Route 4. And I get to the Cross Bronx Expressway, and I understood for the first time, you know, they have this term, when you're in traffic, you're like sitting in a parking lot. Because the cars are not moving at all. It was mamish parking lot. I mean, like, not moving at all. And I turn on the radio to see what's going on. And apparently there was like one of these tall RVs that was very tall, and it wasn't allowed on the lower level of the George Washington Bridge because there's like a height limit or whatever it is, and it went, and it ended up like knocking off its roof and went on fire. Everyone was okay, I think, but like it closed down the whole entire George Washington Bridge on a Thursday afternoon. The whole Jordan, like your main bridge into New Jersey, where like thousands of cars are going rush hour on Thursday afternoon, closed down. So you can imagine every highway leading there is backed up to like forever. And I'm sitting there. And I'm thinking about this lesson in Kala, and what am I going to do? So I see there's like a little bit of an exit. Now, how do I, nothing's moving at all. So but you do what you can when you're in that position. I literally, never been, I like tap the car to like get them to move over, like literally hit it physically, and like got around. It was crazy. But you do what you can. And I get off. So I get off the highway. Now I'm on like the side streets. Again, my father is like a human GPS. This is before any GPS, before Waze, before all that. I call my father, and I ask my father. My father's on speaker, directing me like all the side streets of the Bronx to get on the side streets to the VWB. And I'm getting closer and closer, and it's finally when I. But it's taking a long time, and I'm running late already to the wedding because of all this. But I. Listen, I figure every single person's running late to the wedding. Everyone's from the five towns, right? There's no one there but the Chassan Kala taking pictures. Finally, I get closer, and they open up the upper level. The things start moving slowly, but everyone's getting to that upper level. So I'm going to the upper level. And it's going slowly. It's a 6 o'clock wedding. It's already like 6:45 at this point. Okay? At that point already, I call Rabbi Neuberger, my Rebbe. I'm discussing with him shaylos just in case we run after Shkia and sue the different whatever it is. Not to get into the details right now. He's on the phone with me, and suddenly I'm already basically there's two lanes going to the upper level, and there's a concrete cement divider, and then lanes going to the lower level, which is still closed down. As I'm already going to the upper level. Exactly then, they open up the lower level. Now, the upper level is crazy traffic because everyone's going there. The lower level, the first few cars, going a minute. I could be, if I was at the lower level, I could be there at the wedding in 8 minutes. But I'm already committed to the upper level, and there's this concrete divider. Now, the divider was about, I'd say, 1 to 2 feet tall and about 3 to 4 feet wide. Okay? So I decide, I had to make a split decision. I turned to Tuviara and to my Tom. I said, we're going for it. He's like, what are you talking about? And we're going over the divider. We're going to try. I got to do it. I'm not on Sadducian. 3 days before, 2 days before, the Chassan comes to me. He's like, Rebbe, here's the Ksuva. Here's the Tanaim. You're the most trustworthy person. You take it all. So I have everything with me. So it's not like, they can't even get married. Okay, Shkoyah, give another person to be a Sadducian, another rabbi there. I have everything. You don't like carry around ksuvas with you, most people. You know, like. So I say, I'm going for it. And I slam on my ignition. I go, mamish, over this divider in my car, like, rides up, plop. And just literally gets stuck on top of the divider. No. You know, I didn't have a chvesh, it's just smartphone back then. I don't have a picture. I'm telling you, it was dangling. I promise, the whole middle of the car is sitting on the divider. The wheels are off the divider. And my car is sitting there. And we're stuck. So I tell Tavia, my phone falls on the floor. Remember, I was on the phone with Rudy. We probably thought, I don't know what happened then. My phone just goes flying. And I tell Tavia, I'm like, get out, we got to push. Now, I wasn't thinking. But if the tires are not on the ground, you can't push the car. It's like pushing a wall. There's nothing to push. So we get out. We fake, like we think, but nothing moves. But it doesn't pull. We're standing on the highway. Cars are going by. We're in our suits. People are like, "Mamish." I remember the people flying by to the lower level laughing at us. You see the car stuck there. Like, what are we? I mamish look up to Shemayim. What do we do now? So I see like 10 feet away, it's like black, like, I don't know, like, it looked like rubber, plastic stuff that they, so I say, oh, maybe I could build some traction, like build high enough. I don't know what I was thinking. It wasn't even close. It was, And this whole thing happened, right, it's like 4 or 5 minutes, but I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to do? Really, mamish, what am I going to do? I had no idea, and I'm like thinking, oh my God, my wife's going to kill me. I probably destroyed the car also, because it like plop, the whole middle of the car plopped down on the cement barrier. And suddenly, at the corner of my eye, I see, coming up from the place where I was coming from the to the upper level, a black Range Rover. And I could tell it's like 30 feet away still, but somehow, I don't know how I understood this, even though no words are just like through motion. The driver is a Yid. Remember like yesterday, he's wearing this blue button-down shirt. He looked like he was in his 60s. He's wearing a big yarmulke, but any motion that he's going to, I could tell from his motion, he's going to take his car and knock me off the divider. So I tell Tavion, I don't get anything. He's like, why would he do that? He's not doing that. I'm not telling him he's doing that. Get in the car. And we get in the car, and I'm like, brace yourself. And this guy, who I didn't exchange any words from, has no idea the real predicament that we're here and I'm supposed to be beside a Kedushin an hour ago at a chasana. He doesn't know what's going on and how important it was that we get off this divider. And he literally takes his car and just jams into me, slams into me from behind. We go flying off the divider. Thank God, I don't know how he timed it. No cars were coming then. We didn't get hit. Then I didn't know, I'm like, so I was davening to when I pressed the ignition, if it's going to even work. I didn't know what's going to go on. And the cars are working, I go. I turn back, try to say thank you, he's gone already. And about 8 minutes later, I'm at the wedding. I'm at a beautiful chasana. Beautiful chuppah. His man. Everything worked out. Kodesh Kodesh. Now that guy, I'll tell you the truth. I believe, just personally, I believe it was Eliyahu Navi. It happened to be Parshas Pinchas that week. Pinchas, if you know deeply who Eliyahu. I came back that night. I give a Thursday night shiur. Some of the chevra here have been too many times. Members of the Thursday night shiur, I'm sure some of the Nashim's Kanyas have heard it. And I always give it, even after Chai. I gave that shiur like 1 o'clock in the morning, and there's still chevra. I told the story, so one of the guys turns to me. He's like, how could it be Eliyahu Navi? He's driving a Range Rover. So first I said, what do you mean? You don't think yesterday's donkey is today's Range Rover? Like, really? Upgrade. They said, no, but you have to understand something. See, gematria, the ikar of the Range Rover is range, because it could be a Land Rover also, right? So if you take the gematria of range with the koilel, and you spell it resh nun j with the gimel, you know, like, right? But with the koilel, is 254 exactly gematria chamor. Donkey. So don't tell me he wasn't on a donkey. Temes. But I'll tell you the truth. I believe, no, till today, I believe it was Eliyahu Navi. But let's say for those of you who don't believe it, you weren't there. You can't have that hargasha. For most of you, you're questioning, was it really Eliyahu Navi? Okay, nice gematria, but it wasn't Eliyahu Navi, right? So if it wasn't Eliyahu Navi, I think it's a bigger chiddush. If it wasn't Eliyahu Navi, here's some Yid who definitely, he doesn't know who I am. He doesn't know my situation. He just sees my car stuck like that. And he took his car. He definitely damaged his car. He slammed his car into the back of my car. And he had an expensive car. I didn't. But he saw a Yid in need. He definitely scratched it up. He definitely dented his car. It's not a normal thing to do. He says, there's a Jew in need. I'm going to help him. I'm going to be there for him. That's V'sagel Ha'aretz. V'sagel Ha'aretz means every aspect of my life. I have to punish him in it. Every aspect of my life can be holy. Every aspect of my life I elevate for God. And I'm with God. And I understand that. In the deepest of ways. And that's what's lacking from this world. When this Chorban. We've always been davening. We've always been learning. But to bring Hashem into every aspect of our life. To bring Hashem into my socialization. Into my playing ball, into my hanging out, into going out to eat, into whatever I do, that there are bonus homes by my side. You know, this summer I've had many people open up, both men and women. One big talk with someone last week. And who said to me, they're loving it here, and they know they're doing so much chesed and so much giving, and they know they're going to grow from that, all that, and yet they've heard it enough to know that it's true. But Rebbe, I just don't feel frum. At a whole year in seminary, a whole year in yeshiva, My davening isn't what it used to be all year. My learning isn't close to what it was. Hardly learning, hardly davening. I don't feel frum. I know it's good what I'm doing, but I don't feel frum. I don't feel the ruchnius. So let me tell you something. That's because we're in Churban and we don't understand the Sogal Art in a deep way. And we have to recalibrate our brains and our understanding and our perception. It's true. Halavai, we have to try it. Maybe a little bit harder to daven a little bit more. And of course, our first avoda are our campers, and to give and be there for them. And maybe it's davening at different hours, and maybe it's much less. But to have some kavana, we do have to put in some more effort, maybe. And maybe we can. And our learning as well. Although if you're here on a late night tonight, we started very late, it says a lot for you. Each and every one of you. It's a big chizik for me. It's true, we have to. But we also have to recalibrate and understand what being frum is. Being frum is not just yismucha shemayim. It's not just learning and davening. Being frum is the sogel l'aretz. It's bringing Hashem into every aspect of my life. It's doing why do I learn? Why do I daven? Why do I keep Shabbos? Why am I tenua? Because it's ratzon Hashem. Because it's ratzon Hashem. So ratzon Hashem is to take my car and help a yid in need. And ratzon Hashem is all day long to take care of my camper. Even me, that I have to put on my tefillin at 6 o'clock at night because that's the first moment I have on that particular day. And ratzon Hashem might be that I'm not davening the same way, and I'm not learning the same way, but I'm doing ratzon Hashem. I'm doing the sogel aretz. I'm bringing Hashem into every aspect of my life. And don't think that's not frum. That's as frum as you could be. To bring Hashem into every aspect of your life. To bring Hashem into my everyday avodah. You don't think it's frum to be taking care of your campers all day long? Are you serious? How much more frum could you be? I don't even understand. Of course, it's true that there's an avod of Yisbuch HaShemayim that we don't want to forget. And there's a avod of davening and learning. We have to find that balance and find some time. This Kodesh Kedosh. That's what it means. That we want to bring Hashem's name whole again. Be v'sogel aretz tikyed. And we bring Gula. Goyal Vodhei. And that's what we're doing right here. And not just for now. You got to bring this home with you. Because it's much easier here than at home. Because here it's on a silver platter for you. The avodah I know is hard. Most people in the world wouldn't be able to do what each and every one of you are doing. You're malachim to do it. At the same day, it's set up for you of what to do to be b'sogel aretz. I know what it is. It's right here. When you leave this place, and it's sooner than you think. What is it? 3 weeks from tomorrow? Right? 3 weeks from tomorrow? Like that. Time flies. Goes very quickly. The vote is to take it with you. The vote is to take it with you. Not just for here. To be that same person. And it might be in different avodas. But bring Hashem into whatever I'm doing. In every way. Elevate whatever I'm doing. And make Hashem's name big again. That's what it is. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Gimel says, B'shash Yisrael, Nichnasim lebet Ignasius lebet Midrashos. When we enter into our shuls, into our base medrash, and we say, V'onin Yehei Shmei, Agad al-Mavarach, Yehei Shmei Rab al-Mavarach, we say those words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Menanei HaRosho, God shakes His head, V'omer, and He says, Ashrei HaMelech, Shemekalsin Oso B'Beis Okach, praiseworthy King, that His people praise Him in such a way, it's beautiful, Yehei Shmei Rab al-Mavarach. But then He says, Ma'alol Ov Shehiglas Banav, what is to a father who's exiled his children? And woe is to the children that have been exiled. What are you talking about? We say, Hashem first says, wow, it's beautiful, you're praising me. And whoa, I can't believe you're still in Galus. What's the connection? If you look at Tosfos, every time we sit there on the spot, what's the main Yehei Shmei Rabbi? You ever think about what the main? We say these words all the time, every Kaddish, right? Yehei Shmei Rabbi Vorach. Yehei Shmei Rabbi. His name should be Rabbi, should be greater. You know what we're saying? We want your name to be whole again, Tosfos to say. That's what we mean. Hashem, we understand you're only Yisbuch HaShemayim. You're only understood and looked at up in heaven. We want it to be the Sogal Aretz. We want the Vav Hei back. So Hashem says, it's beautiful what you're saying, and then he remembers, we're still in Galus, and it's not that way yet. Yizgadal v'yizgadash, Shemei Rabba. Yizgadel, it should be greater, v'yizgadash, Shemei, Yizgadal v'yizgadash. The Arizal, his yartzeit was just a few days ago. The Arizal says, Yizgadal v'yizgadash has 11 letters in it. Vavheh. Vavheh is gematria 11. Because the Vav Hey, Yizgadal v'yizgadash, make Hashem's name big again, bring back the Vav Hey. Ashrei HaMelech Shekolson, Ashrei is Rashi Tevos, Amein Yehei Shmei Rabba. That we want Hashem's name to be big again. And that's what you're doing here. And you have to just understand it, just to know it. What you're doing is Ratzon Hashem. What you're doing is Nesogal Art. What you're doing is bringing Geula to the world. This is what we need. This is what the world's waiting for. This is what Hashem's waiting for. We can't wait much longer if we live this type of life to bring the Shekhinah back and say, that's where I want to be again in a revealed fashion. And believe this is Kodesh. Believe this is Frum. Believe it in the deepest ways. And of course we have to daven, and of course we have to learn. But that's not more Frum than everything that you're doing this summer. And you have to take that into every aspect of your life. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu by your side in everything that you do. And maybe one eitzah in a practical way. Because like I said, you're not taking your house campers home with you. So how are you going to live this life? How are you going to live this life? So this pasuk, whenever I think about Yismuchu HaShemayim B'Sogol Aretz, there's a similar pasuk in a different way. It talks, references this a little bit. HaShemayim Shemayim LaShem V'Aretz Nasan Levnei Adam. Also shows the distinction, the contrast. Hashemayim Shemayim LaHashem. The heaven is heaven to God. V'aret nasan l'vnei adam. The world was given to us. Gemara in Brachos uses that pasuk to talk about the difference between when we make a bracha and when we don't make a bracha. If we don't make a bracha, it's a little bit like taking from Hashem, because everything in this world is Hashem's. And by making a bracha, we're asking rishus, we're asking permission. Birchas rishus. So what's va'arat nasan l'vnei adam? What do you mean? When does Hashem give us anything? Everything's His. When we make a bracha, Hashemayim, Shemayim, Hashem, it's all Hashem's. Everything's Hashem before the bracha, and then He gives it to us after the bracha. Meaning, when could you? How do you elevate this world? How do you connect godliness to this world? Every time we make a bracha, you know what that is? Hashem gives us this incredible opportunity. I know, and for right now, and for going forward, it is true. Right now, many of us don't have the time to daven the way we might want to be davening. And don't have the time to learn the way we... And those are the things that help us really connect to Hashem and feel Hashem a little bit more so in our life. The Yizmuch HaShemayim of the world. Which is there. But I'm doing the things that are V'Sogal Aretz, but I don't even feel the godliness in them. I don't feel the V'Sogal Aretz. I don't realize that. So Hashem gave us something to help us realize that. It's making a bracha. So I have this cup of iced tea over here. I thank Benji for always taking care. Ishtu Kaguf from Miriam. Right? So I have this. So I could just indulge and enjoy this cup of iced tea. I could do that. And it's a physical pleasure, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I have to feed myself and enjoy it. Or I could take this physical activity and I could bring godliness into it, bring Hashem into it. And turn it into the Sogal Aretz. Turn it into be mashlim, completing Shem Hashem. And how do I do that? Just, you make a bracha. But not the way some of us make brachas. You know, it's easy to make brachas very quickly. But I make a bracha slowly. And slowly doesn't have to mean like a big rev in 2 minutes. But like, I'm not saying that. That's most of us, that's not who we are. But even that, like 10 seconds instead of 3 seconds, and just say the words and think about, just pasha pshat what they mean. Baruch atah Hashem, you are the source of all blessing in my life, Hashem. Elokeinu melech olam, our God, King of the universe, Shakol Niyeh Bezvaro, everything in this world is because of you. And realize that, wait a minute, oh wow, this iced tea, it ultimately came from Hashem, and Hashem's giving it to me and allowing me to partake in it. Wow, thank you, Hashem. And now suddenly this drinking also connects me to Hashem, B'Sogal Aretz. And if I make a bracha in such a way, it's a different avoda. And it elevates this world. We're supposed to make 100 brachos a day, something we're doing all day long. So it's true, because I have my avodas HaKodesh of this of this camp and what I'm doing and throughout your lives. It's only preparing you for what life is, with full of responsibilities, whether it's in work, whether it's with children. But then throughout my day, I'm making brachas. We're all eating throughout the day. We're all using the bathroom throughout the day. We're all doing different things that necessitate brachas to us, so that I bring godliness into every aspect of your life. And I remember, Hashem, even though those things that might not have a bracha beforehand, but making brachas throughout the day, Hashem is part of my day and elevates the aspects of my day in a very, very beautiful, beautiful way. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought me a matana. If you take the gematria, we're supposed to make 100 brachas a day, right? Take the gematria, ma mea brachos kol yom. What happens when you make 100 brachos every day? Ma mea brachos kol yom. You'll do the math some other time, but trust me, it's 825. Exactly the gematria of tafkid chayim olam hazeh. The purpose of life in this world. The purpose of what? Life in this world. We don't live in heaven. We're not angels. We're supposed to elevate this world. V'sogel ha'aretz, in everything that we do. Everything that we do through a bracha, ma'amei brachas kol yom, exactly. Gematria tafkid chayim olam hazeh, purpose of life in this world. That's what we just read. You know, in Devarim, the beginning of Devarim, the parasha before the Churban, Sefer begins, just the second pasuk, achad asar yom, 11 days, 11 again, 11, vav hey, gematria 11, 11 days, mechorev. From a place of Chorban. Derech Har Seir, the path that brings Chorban. Seir is Esav, all the Yetzihara of the world, that brings Chorban in my life. The society that we live in that pulls us down. It's 11 to go from the Chorban of Seir at Kadesh Barnea until a place of Kedusha. Again, Achadas are 11, because 11 is above Hey. It's to realize V'sagal Aretz. To realize that I want to elevate everything in this world. That's our avoda. That's the biggest ratzon Hashem. And over the last 2.5 months, and really longer, but the last 2.5 months, there hasn't been a moment in my life that I haven't been thinking about my wife. I'm always thinking about my wife in other ways, but a lot of the chevra in the room knows my wife, a little over 2 months ago, had open heart surgery. She's still recovering in Bez Hashem. She'll have a complete refuah Bez Hashem. And I think back to the days in the hospital. And so much that went on there in those crucial days. Baruch Hashem, the surgery was a tremendous success. And the recovery has been more difficult. But I think back to my Lel Shabbos in the hospital. The surgery was on Thursday, all day Thursday. Friday night is still, it was a day after the surgery. She's still in a very difficult predicament, obviously. In pain and all the different, emotionally. And I was with her in the room. And clearly I wasn't going to leave her side until she was in a better place. Until she was calm. They didn't want me to sleep in the room. She didn't want me to, whatever, that's all. So that night, I didn't go to Minyan. I was by her side. And I didn't have a real Shabbos suit, though. The end of the night, I made kiddush and amotzi for my wife that she should hear. She couldn't eat or drink anything, just to hear. And then she fell asleep, and she was calm, and she was good. And it was about 11 o'clock, 11:30 at night. I went downstairs, and I started my suda. Having mind, I'll continue downstairs in the Bikacholim room. And it's like 11:30 at night in the Bikacholim room in Mount Sinai Hospital. I'm having my Lel Shabbos suda by myself. Never in my life before that did I have a Friday night suda by myself. And it was the most special suda. I started singing and dancing and had different courses and just to cover Shabbos. And I said to myself, you know what, this was Ratzon Hashem, that I should have such a suda tonight. And Ratzon Hashem was for me to be by my wife's side, not to dab with a minyan, not to eat with my mishpacha. And then after my suda, this is all halacha, you do it this way, whatever, I don't want to get into it right now. I didn't dab it yet. So I wanted to start my suda with my wife. Once I started my suda, I continued the suda. It's only after that that I go. It was midnight, or past midnight. I went into the shul in the Mount Sinai, and I went and I davened Kabbalah Shabbos. And I said, I don't remember the last time I davened Bichidus by myself, Kabbalah Shabbos, but this was Ratzon Hashem. This is what Hashem wants. So I'm being there for my wife. And I davened, it was after midnight, I davened the full Karbach Kabbalah Shabbos. I was dancing around the shul. Someone would have seen, they would have thought I was out of my mind probably, but it was one of the holiest davenings I had in my life.
And I was all alone. But I wasn't alone, I was with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And I was Vesog El Aretz. And the next day, my wife was having a very difficult moment. I don't, not to get into the whole story now. We'll tell the story quickly because it's a pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. We're using, maybe some of you know the story, but we're using Mamish like, her surgeon was world-renowned surgeon. These surgeons, world-renowned. In the surgery she had, top in the world, top one in the world, literally. You Google this surgery, his name comes up, you know? Number one. But those type of people, like, if you want to get in touch with them, you have to email them, talk to their secretary. Tell them. He's a sweet, wonderful person. He's just, every day involved in big surgeries. And he's like out of our league, you know? So it happened to be the day before, they tell me, well, that's a whole other story. The whole day I'm waiting to hear from him. He said he's going to call when the surgery's over and tell me how it was. The whole time, he doesn't update you. It's a crazy day full of emotion. You can imagine davening that day. And finally, I leave my wife at 10 o'clock in the morning. Mama's just crying, leaving her to open heart surgery. And finally, at 7 o'clock, he finally called me, 7:15. It was like Mama's most special phone call of my life and told me that everything went perfectly and incredible. And after I got off the phone, I didn't know where he called from. I assumed it was from the hospital. But you know what? I saved the number of my phone just in case it was his cell phone. And it might be good to have. You would never get it out, you know? But you never know when you need someone's cell phone, right? Little did I know I'd be doing something I never did in my life. This is all Mamish Min HaShemayim. So the next day, Shabbos morning, in the morning she was doing well, so I was able to go daven. There was a minion in the Mount Sinai, two floors down. I went to daven, and I come back up after davening, and my wife was in the most pain of her life. She was basically dying. I never saw her like this. And the nurses there tried to help, and the doctor on call tried to help. Nobody was doing anything for her. They gave her every pain medication you've ever heard of in your life, every narcotic. Nothing did a thing. And I saw my wife. I'm in the most pain I've ever seen her. So that's it. And the doctor, I went to get the doctor, and he basically comes in and says he did everything. Sorry, nobody was helping at this point. So I didn't know what to do. And I see my wife in the most pain she's ever been in her life. Mama's dying. More pain than the day before, right after surgery, or the night, two nights. So I've never in my life, I have five beautiful kids, and I've never in my life had to make a phone call on Shabbos, and I pull out my phone, and again, I do a bit of shiinai with a knuckle, and I didn't even know if it was. I say, just in chance, maybe it's a surgeon's number, and I press that number from yesterday, and I don't even know what got me to do that, because number one, probability was just some hospital number. Number two, why would he pick up some random, I don't pick up random numbers, why would this top surgeon pick up some random number? But literally on the first ring, the doctor picks up the phone, and I say, "It's Arya Cohen." I tell my wife's name. I'm so sorry. I hear his kids crying in the background. I said, "Listen, my wife's dying. They're not helping." Within a minute, and I knew it was a tube inside that was hitting a nerve, but they wouldn't take it out yet because it wasn't really supposed to come out yet. But he was the only one who could say it, but they wouldn't call him. I get off the phone with him. Within a minute, the doctor, who wouldn't do anything, comes running in, still holding his phone because the surgeon called him, and he pulls out this tube, and she was amazing. It was incredible. It's the only time I was on my phone at Shabbos. You know how kadosh that phone call was? That was Vesag El Aretz. That was Ratzon Hashem. I have no doubt, no doubt, 100%. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted. The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted that for me just as much as he wanted me to daven Ni'ilah on Yom Kippur. Just as much as he wants me to sit and learn Arvei Pesachim as much as I can. Just as much as he wants. That's Vesag El Aretz. Not just Yisrael Hashemayim. I really deeply believe that. And we have to live with that. We have to live with understanding that I'm bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into every aspect of my life. If not, there's Churban in this world. If not, there's Miyom Shechor B'Ezamigas De'olom Shadamish B'Deyos. If I don't believe that Hashem is in every aspect in this world, so I leave him up in heaven. Don't leave him up in heaven. You're bringing him down to this world every moment in this place. In this Gan Eden al Eretz. When you have to walk away from this at the end of the summer, make sure you don't forget that. And then we'll be zeichet to each and every one of us bring Geula into our individual lives. And if all of us bring Geula into our individual lives, we'll be zeichet to Geula Shleima. We'll be zeichet that Hashem will say, we're bringing him into the world. I want my bias to be back with these yidin again, with B'yas Mashiach, with Geula Shleima, B'mheir B'yameinu. Have a beautiful night, and we'll continue soon.